People pay taxes, companies make money.
Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, you're listening to the Technology Equals Equality Podcast.
Welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality Podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 73. Today, I have the absolute pleasure of welcoming Mike O'Connell to the show. Michael is an author, video producer, owner, and founder of KC Visuals Unlimited. Graduating from Emerson College in 1980, Michael brings decades of experience and wisdom to the show. Listen in as Michael and I discuss growth, perspective, delegation, and so much more.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Excellent. So what we'd love to do before we kind of jump into your entrepreneurial journey is kind of roll back the clock a little bit, kind of go back into time before school, before a business. What is it that you thought life would look like?
Well, you know, I've always had the filmmaking bug since I was a kid. My dad had a 8mm movie camera, and you know, those are the old silent movies that, you know, they'd shoot for like 3 seconds and, you know, kids would be running around. And, you know, so at 10 years old, I bought my own camera and I made my own little films. You know, my mom always said, you know, they were the funniest films she ever saw, because we'd do disappearing acts and jumping up on roofs of houses and all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, just through editing within the camera, you know. So I've always had that film bug, and I ended up, you know, I went to Emerson College, where I studied TV, film, and radio, and you know, that's where my journey took me. So it's something I've always wanted to do, and I did. So
nice. I think that you are the second entrepreneur that we've ever had on the show that actually kind of saw their journey before they got to their journey. I think there's only one other entrepreneur that I can recall in all the guests that we've had on the show that started off very early in life having that dream and that goal and honestly following through with that. So kudos to you, because that's not something that you come across pretty often. So your first steps in your entrepreneurial journey were at the age of 8 or 10 when you bought that camera.
Right.
So, you know, you really
had a paper route. I saved up for it. Got birthday gift money, and I bought myself a camera.
Nice. When you purchased that first camera with that birthday money and so forth, when you were much, much younger. But let's kind of fast forward a little bit, past school, past Emerson, and look at what happened once you left school. You had this journey and this goal ahead of you to become, you know, a video production manager or to produce videos for yourself in some way, shape, or form. What were some of the first steps you took when you left school?
Well, you know, when I got out of Emerson, the first job I had was with Warner Cable TV, which was in Somerville, Massachusetts, but covered 9 cities and towns. And mm-hmm. I produced a daily newscast, the local edition it was called. And I even, at one point, had to fill in as the news anchor, because the news anchor was out. And so my face for radio actually got on TV at that point. I still have some old videos of that. It's hysterical. But, you know, the career at that point, you know, was heading towards, you know, television. But mm-hmm. then, you know, the money at Warner Cable was not very good. Mm-hmm. And I got offered a job in a world I didn't know existed, which was corporate television. Mm. I took a job at an insurance company producing videos for marketing and training and what have you. And I didn't even know this world existed, but I got there and I loved it.
Nice.
I did a lot of traveling, you know, worldwide. Did a lot of traveling and made a lot of good friends. Just loved the job. And I stayed there for 8 years. And by eighth year, I produced what I considered the best video to that point. It was a 100-year celebration of the company. And, you know, they spent 5 or 6 times the budget we would normally spend on a video. And,
nice.
So we did some things we, you know, normally didn't do, and it was fun. And a year later, the company went into receivership, and I was out on the streets. But I bought all their television equipment, and I started my company at that point.
Nice. I love that. When you were working with the company, you already had this thought process going, clearly, because I don't think it would have been a moment or an opportunity that you would have taken had it not been something that was kind of, you know, the gears were turning in the background in some way, shape, or form, because a lot of people, when a company is purchased, bought out, and they're, you know, laid off and so forth, look for another job. And kind of look to figure out where that next form of stable income is coming from. So what was that motivation for you? What was, you know, what were those gears that were turning long before that moment occurred and that opportunity arose?
I had actually thought about starting a business, you know, towards near the end with the insurance company. One of the partners that I went into business with work with me there at the insurance company, and then another guy. We started the idea and put a business plan together, and then when, you know, the layoff happened, that accelerated things, and I bought the equipment. There was three of us in the company at that point in time, but one of the partners, I didn't know him that well coming in, and 3 months later he quit. He didn't like taking direction, and we bought him out, and my partner Paul Kelly and I, the K of KC, went on and continued the company. We had some good years, bad years, and in between, you know, it was like a roller coaster ride, but it was fun. One thing I had wished was I knew nothing about being a video production company.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of Emerson, the only thing I thought was out there were jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You went to work for a TV station or a film company or a radio station, and that's how you made your money. You know, I didn't realize that, you know, you could be entrepreneurial and start your own production company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, and I think that's true of a lot of people across the board. When you're in school, becoming an entrepreneur was not something that was often spoke of. You know, I know when I was in school, it was very much the same thing, you know, and the same thing that my parents told me was, you know, you go to school, you get your degree, you find a company, you get a good job, you know, you stay with that company for X amount of years. But that's changed over decade after decade. That's changed to a point where you might stay with a company for X amount of years, but having the ability to retire with that sort of a pension and benefits package that I've had the opportunity to witness generations in my family retire with is not really a reality in this day and age. And I think, you know, with that change in the economy in general, with the drop in the ability to retire in the same manner, kind of sparked that interest in the upswing of entrepreneurialism, you know, and those who are looking to really kind of secure their own future for themselves versus waiting for a company to do so.
Entrepreneurs don't retire.
Right.
Not just because we don't have the money to, but because, you know, we like what we do, so we want to just continue to do it.
Exactly. What do you feel was one of the hardest parts of getting started as an entrepreneur? When you bought all the equipment from Warner Cable and you decided, okay, let's go ahead and start KC Visuals, let's launch this. What do you feel was some of the most difficult parts? Do you feel it was hashing out that partnership, or do you feel it was maintaining that motivation, or what do you feel was one of the biggest?
Not having any business training was a big issue. You know, we didn't know it at that point in time, but it was a big issue, and not really knowing how to develop and grow a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I found myself early on, you know, doing marketing work to find a job. You'd find that job, you'd do the job. While you're doing that job, you're doing no marketing. You're producing that video, you've completed, it's great, you get paid, but now there's no next job because you have to do the marketing for the next job. So it was a stop-and-go cycle, you know, just, you know, find a job, do a job, find a job, do a job. Didn't know that you could have somebody doing the marketing, finding those jobs, and you would just continue doing the jobs, and somebody would continue finding the jobs, and you'd have nice, happy workflow.
Right. No, definitely. I call that working in and not on the business. I call it wino mode. I think trying to make sure that you have that automated regular income flow is, of course, one of the more important pieces for a business to stay afloat, and finding a way to keep that as a consistent piece when you are more of a creative versus business sense is a really difficult thing for entrepreneurs across the board. I think there are many more creative entrepreneurs than there are business savvy entrepreneurs. And having that degree or course, be it online or in a university, of some sort of business sense and business management background is really important. So I think that's a funny one that you brought that up. I don't think people really bother to admit that.
Collaboration back then, we'd all have collaborated and we'd be, you know, entrepreneurs with huge success and lifestyles of the rich and famous.
So what do you feel was the biggest help for you technology-wise throughout the journey? What do you think is the biggest piece that really helped propel your business forward in terms of...
You could say one word would be computers.
Mm-hmm.
When I started out, you know, way back in my day, you know, the films I made were with Rolodexes that you'd flick them and they'd create motion just by flicking forward. And, you know, you'd put subtitles in because you didn't have sound yet. But I started out when it was videotape. Change happened when it went from analog to digital. Video became computerized.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that just changed everything.
Yeah.
Went from a very linear workflow to a nonlinear workflow where, you know, you could make changes. You could take something, put it here, put it there, put it there, 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 there. If you wanted, with copy and paste, the world changed. With tape, if you had somebody requested a change in the middle of a videotape, it was like, oh my God, you know how much work that'll be. You know, seriously, it was the craziest situation. If you had to change the length of a video back then on tape, it was like disaster. You had to start it over from that point on.
Literally pulling teeth. Literally.
Oh, wicked. But now it's like, I'll make a change. No charge. That was easy, you know.
Right.
So that's applied also to the marketing side of things too, because, you know, with word processing, I used to, when I first started out, everything, I'd type on a typewriter and we'd, you know, type letters out and fold them up and lick the stamps and envelopes and, you know, mail them out one at a time to find work. And then, you know, the automation of a computer. Wow. Email? Ooh, what? What's email? Is that like, you know, a competitor to the post office?
You know, I want to kind of bring it back for a second because you said something important that I actually don't think I've had the ability to pull out of another story, is how technology also has assisted not only in streamlining what it is that you're doing on a regular basis, but has also allowed you the opportunity to cut costs and provide better customer service, to provide those quick one-off changes, to provide that ability to maneuver and make pivots far quicker, you know, ever had the ability to do previously.
Oh, so. Right. And plus, you know, you look at it like with video, it used to be, you know, okay, and I need 500 copies of the tape to send out to my satellite offices or customers or whoever it may be. So you'd have a big duplication cost. In fact, then it was a moneymaker because you were getting paid for, you know, the duplication costs. But now it's like you post a video on YouTube, Vimeo, or one of the platforms, and it's anywhere you want it to be.
At all times, right?
Yeah.
Right. So definitely, I think tech has streamlined a lot of things across the board, and that's how I think in personal as well as business application, that's one of the widespread pieces. But I do love how you had that extra piece of customer service and the ability to cut costs on there as well. I think that's an important piece. What do you feel is some of your biggest goals this year? What are you looking to do with KC Visuals? Where are you looking to see KC Visuals go?
Well, we're always trying to find the next job, you know, and line up, you know, good customers. I just set up a project with UMass Lowell that I'm doing two video projects for them. A guy I used to work with at Tufts University for many years ago, who's one of my early clients that I still work with today. So this turned into a new client with some exciting new projects coming up. And so I would like to see it, you know, continue to grow into the business and the institutional realm, bring digital video to the masses, good quality video at a, you know, an affordable rate, because You see, a lot of people use video and they do it with their cell phone. And I wrote a book because of that, you know, called Video Marketing Made Easy, which helps people that are doing their own videos, give them tips and tricks and guidelines to work by to make their videos better. Won't increase costs at all. They can do a lot of things with things that I suggest and recommend and make their videos better.
We'll put a link so that they can order that in the show notes page, definitely.
Yeah, it's on, you know, it's on Amazon Kindle. They can find out your Video Marketing Made Easy. My beautiful friend Lisa Malmgren is on the cover posing with video camera. It's a good little tool to help, you know, the small business and entrepreneur do their own videos. They, you know, can't afford to have a production company do it for them. But I do recommend, you know, when you're doing an important piece, you want it well done and you want to come across good. And I just partnered with his name is Adrian Von Sweeten, young fellow that does search engine optimization for video. So we're going to combine, and we're calling our new service the Video Brand Booster.
I love it.
We'll combine the use of YouTube Live as opposed to Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. YouTube Live allows you to pre-produce a professional video and upload and live stream it. So you have all the anticipation and values of the live event, but you get a polished video with none of the mistakes. And we're promoting it, showing a bunch of bloopers from Facebook Live videos that, you know, and with search engine optimization done ahead of time to help build up your audience, you know, it'll make it a better live event.
Nice. I love that. That sounds really exciting. If you have a link or a page, we'll definitely include a link to that from the show notes page so that people have the ability to connect with you on that as well.
Right now, we're planning on if the, you know, he was checking to see if the domain was available. But it would be, you know, available at videobrandbooster.com. That's still in the works right now. So
awesome. We'll keep our eyes and ears open and link to that as soon as it's available. I'm curious, if you could kind of pop in a time machine and go back, say, 10, 20 years from now, what would you tell yourself to help yourself along this journey?
Oh, boy, there's so many things, both personally and professionally. But I think take some business courses would have been something I'd tell myself. You know, when I graduated from high school, I had the chance. I graduated third in my class and was offered an acceptance to Harvard. You know, my father, everyone was like, take the Harvard. You know, I said, but I want to do video. This is, you know, film and Emerson is my dream.
Right.
And I went to Emerson. I always wondered what would happen if I went to Harvard Business School instead, but still had the film bug. Would I have had all the business skills I needed and then still been able to do it? You know, that's one of those questions that will always linger, but, you know, hey.
Like, the show was designed to really help entrepreneurs with the ability to solve a challenge in an industry that they may not have been thinking about previously. You never know when the next great idea may be sparked. So I'd love to know, if you could go ahead and wave a magic wand and change anything at all for your business or video production as an industry, what would it be and why?
Well, for my business personally, I would love to be wave that magic wand and then look on LinkedIn and have 10,000 followers for my video blog, and Facebook people are, you know, going to my Facebook page and logging in for my next YouTube Live video blog that we're putting up.
There you go.
So the throngs, I developed the throngs. I love to share my opinion and views on you know, video and business and entrepreneurship. I don't do just video. I dabble in a bunch of other things too. So I love to get involved in the online world. And my business coach is Laurel Langmeyer. She preaches, you know, multiple income streams, a diverse portfolio of investment. Make your money work for you. Don't just put it in a mutual fund where it's doing nothing for you and go out and build up those income streams. And for entrepreneurs, a very important thing is get an entity established for your business, whether it's an LLC or a corporation. But Laurel's taught me that people pay taxes, companies make money. So that's an important thing for an entrepreneur to look into early on in the business process, is get yourself an entity for the business. Separate your personal side from your business side. So,
Excellent. Yeah, really just making the prep for the future, if that's what your plan is. Really just making sure that you're looking at the steps that you're taking and implementing those steps along the way versus waiting until later to actually kind of hop on those things. Michael, you've been absolutely wonderful. I really do appreciate you joining us today.
Oh, I'm excited and happy to be here.
Excellent. Well, please share the best way for our listeners to find you.
The best way to find me is by cell phone, 978-935-0373. If you're shy and don't want to talk on the phone, you could email me, michael@kcvisualsunlimited.com.
Well, Michael, thank you again. We truly enjoyed chatting this evening.
Oh, it was awesome. Thank you. Laurie, I totally appreciate it.
Mike, thank you once again for joining us this week. We truly appreciate you sharing your time and expertise with the community. And Techie Community, thank you guys for joining us here for episode 73. If you're looking for some assistance with your video marketing, reach out to Mike Cannell over at kcvisualsunlimited.com, or you can always reach out to him through our show notes page at technology-equality.com/Mike Cannell. If you are the type that likes to do things yourself and you really just need some do-it-yourself type training, don't forget Mike wrote a book for you, Video Marketing Made Easy, that you can grab on Amazon Kindle, and we will have a link to that through the show notes page for easy access. Thank you once again for joining us, Techie Community, and until our next episode when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.